Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 in the Word of God tonight. And Pastor mentioned that I preached this message on the campout. So I think all the young people are going to start tuning out on this one. But see if you can catch things that are different in my message than what I preached on the campout. So you want to make sure you stay alert for our message here this evening. It is a little bit different preaching outside under the trees and stuff as opposed to preaching in here. There's a little bit different dynamic to that, but I enjoy both of them. Mark chapter 4, I trust you're there in the Word of God, and we're going to really deal with some important truths that are really essential for every believer and really foundational to the Christian life if we are going to be successful for the Lord. And so we're in Mark chapter 4, and this really is just a precursor to my main text here tonight. But Mark chapter 4, and look down at verse 5. And this really was the verse that was the theme for our youth campout, that a lot of the truths were developed upon this principle. And I trust that in just a brief moment here, I can kind of let you in on all that the Lord did on the campout, and then into introducing our topic that we're going to deal with tonight. But in Mark chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You know, hearing is a great blessing. It does not until something is taken away from us many times that we understand and appreciate it more. I remember actually Tony's given this illustration to me when they were in Nepal and seeing the Himalayas. The people that lived there every day didn't think anything about it. But the people that were there for the first time, it was just breathtaking. And we have such a great opportunity when just to hear that we don't often think about the great benefit that we have from that. I don't know about you, but I like taking walks or going outside and early in the morning. You wake up and you just hear those birds chirping, that fresh feel of a new day, just being out in the woods and hearing the birds, hearing the wind blowing through the trees. It's a wonderful thing to be able to hear. I remember when we were canoeing down the Kickapoo, I remember just stopping and we were just talking about the things that we could hear and just the blessing that that was to be able to hear. It's a blessing just to hear voices, hear people talking. Sometimes there are things, though, that you wish you didn't hear. Somehow all my illustrations revolve around babies at this time, but it's not as bad anymore. But not too long ago, hearing that cry in the middle of the night, you sometimes wish you could put the pillow over your face and head and not hear the cry of the baby. But that certainly is, hearing is a wonderful thing. There's a great spiritual truth connected to hearing. And it's found all throughout the Bible. If you were to study that aspect of hearing, you'd find it all throughout the Bible about hearing God's word, hearing God's voice. Many times the Bible says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Not just this passage, all throughout the New Testament in Revelation. I believe it said to each of the churches in chapters 2 and 3, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Ears are for hearing, obviously. That's what they're there for. And there is a spiritual hearing. There's a spiritual point that is being driven in here that we need to be tuned into. A spiritual hearing that needs to be taking place in our life. In the Bible, we see that hearing is a choice that we make. You know, we choose whether we're going to hear or whether we're not going to hear. Obviously, with children, with young people, they can be right there and almost not even hear what you just told them, just standing there. And it's a choice that we make. I was just struck with this verse in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." A famine in the land. Not for bread or for a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There is a great need for God's people to hear. not hear the noise and the clamor of the world, not to hear the voices of money and the draw of friends, but to hear the voice of God's Word. To hear, to have a longing and a hearing for the words of the Lord. That verse just struck me. Not a famine of any other sort, but a famine of hearing the Word of God. And to me, that just seems to fit right in with the day and age we live in. A lack of hearing the Word of God. And we're dealing with such an important truth here tonight. We dealt with it on the youth campout in many ways. But I trust the Lord will use that here tonight. Another aspect, I'm just by way of introducing us to this theme of hearing tonight. We see in the Bible three times mentioned this truth of becoming dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. The Bible uses this phrase. There was the quickness to hear was gone. The readiness to receive the Word of God, to hear it, was gone. It's a foolish thing to try to use a dull knife to cut anything. Well, that's the idea here. That dull knife is ineffective. It doesn't accomplish what it's supposed to. And when we're dull of hearing, we're ineffective. Nothing's being accomplished in our lives when God wants us to be ready to hear and quick to hear the Word of God. Just one more thing I want us to point out by way of introduction here is the natural result of hearing, truly hearing, is obedience. The Bible says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." The idea is let it have an effect upon his life. Let it yield fruit in his life. You know, it's one thing that the common phrase goes in one ear and out the other. Well, that doesn't accomplish anything. But the Word of God, as we truly hear it, naturally results in obedience. And if we're going to have the correct perspective on hearing the Word of God, on hearing the voice of God, then we have to understand we're not truly hearing if we aren't obeying. We can deceive ourselves and, you know, we sit here in church, we open our Bible in the morning, but if it isn't resulting in transforming our lives, we truly aren't hearing the Word of God. Could you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and this will be our main text here for the evening. I remember the last time I preached, the testimony times were really short, and tonight they're pretty short too, so just ignore the clock when it doesn't matter. 1 Samuel chapter 3 in the Word of God. And here we have a wonderful account of a young person, a young man that heard the voice of God. A young person that heard God's voice. And it's a great truth, a great lessons that we can learn here from this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to deal tonight with the matter of hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. And obviously we're not speaking of something audible. We're not speaking of anything that contradicts the Word of God. But as we hear the preaching of God's Word, as we interact with God's Word, transforming us and changing us, and we're hearing God's voice through His Word. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, look at verse 1. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Hearing the voice of God. Some important truths that we need to pull tonight from this passage. First of all, I want us to see a person that hears the human authorities is well equipped to hear God's voice. A person that hears human authorities is well equipped to hear God's voice. We see this clearly in this passage. Look at verse 6, and we see it in other verses. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. A person that hears human authorities is well equipped to hear God's voice. Isn't that interesting? Samuel getting ready for bed. Eli's in his room getting ready for bed. And God calls Samuel and he immediately responds. He immediately thinks it's Eli. And he quickly gets up and responds. He hears the voice of his, what he thinks is his human authorities. And it equipped that habit in his life of hearing human authorities equipped him to hear when God was calling him. Now I want us to notice here the connection or the divine link between earthly authorities and God. You know, they're not separate entities. There's a link between them. They overlap. There's a connection between earthly authorities and God. Samuel, he immediately responded to his earthly authority, Eli, which enabled him to hear and respond when God called. You know, it wasn't like Samuel had to hem and haw about whether he was going to respond to the call of what he thought was Eli. No, it was the natural response to respond, to immediately go and hear what Eli had for him. And speaks very highly of the character of Samuel, that every time Eli, which he thought Eli was calling, he responded. You know, after one or two times, you know, he could have gotten frustrated and just said, I'm getting ready for bed. And he just could have ignored him, or he could have thought Eli, when he was losing his mind, you know, and just kind of not quite with it. Well, no, he had a respect. He honored, he feared his human authority, and that equipped him to hear God's voice. Now, I think right here it draws out an important principle that we see about parenting. You know, the whole world's mindset is that we teach our children to obey so that it makes our life easier. You know, it's, and I'm experiencing this. You know, if Jonathan would obey every time, it would make things a whole lot easier. Time wouldn't be, you know, spent on a lot of other things. It would be, you know, a lot easier. And the world has a fleshly, selfish mindset that really is all about themselves. They want their kid to learn to obey so that they have an easy life. They have it easy. When I think an important principle here that we need to understand as Christians is that we don't teach our children just to obey for our sake. No, we teach them to obey because you know what? Someday, or what we're doing is preparing them to obey God. We're teaching them to obey and reverence and respect us when we give them a command so that they can quickly and naturally and just out of habit obey when they hear the voice of God. When they open God's word and God says to do this or God's word commands them to do this, they don't have to question it. They don't have to hem and haw about it, take their time, dilly-dally. No, they are quick to respond. And that ought to motivate us as parents. You know what? This isn't about me. This isn't for me. It's so that they can hear God's voice. And that is a completely different perspective than the world has. And it ought to be that is a guide for us as Christian parents. You know, do we let our children just get away with things? Do we let them just kind of do it their way? And are we content with that? Well, the way we teach them to obey us, you're setting them up for how they're going to obey God.
That's right.
A very important principle that we need to understand. Now, Samuel was prepared and equipped to hear his human authorities, which allowed him to hear God, which we just talked about. Now, I wonder, how do we respond, or do we have trouble responding or hearing our earthly authorities? Young people, do we have trouble responding to earthly authorities? Do we kind of look down when they give us a command or when they tell us to do something? You know, when we are parents, how do we view their role of an authority in our life? Our pastor, other spiritual leaders, how do we view them? Do we have trouble responding to earthly authority? You know, if there is a hindrance, or if it's difficult for you to respond to a human authority, it's a clear indication of how you're responding to God. You know, if you have trouble with a human authority, you kind of stiff arm them, you try to keep them at a distance, you say, oh, I don't need them in my life, you're doing exactly the same thing to God. Because there's a divine link between earthly authorities and heavenly, a divine authority. I think it's interesting in the Ten Commandments, the number 5, honor thy father and mother, is right after all the commandments about God. And there is that aspect, as we teach our children, we're teaching them to honor and worship God and respect Him. But how do we view our authorities? Do we respond easily, quickly to them? How do you respond to the voice of earthly authorities? Are they a bother? Or do we seek to avoid them? Do we view them as kind of a negative thing? Do we have a negative spirit towards them? Do we even seek their help, their wisdom? You know, it's a foolish thing to be an independent person in our life, to avoid the influence of authorities in our life. And Samuel demonstrated a person that could hear human authorities, and it allowed him to hear the voice of God. How are you doing tonight at hearing human authorities? How are you doing at responding to them? Because it indicates how you are responding to God. How do we expect tonight to hear and respond to God if we aren't properly hearing and responding to human authorities? Another thing I want us to see underneath this truth of hearing human authorities and how it equips us to hear God's voice is a person's view of human authorities affects his view of divine authority. And I've touched on that a little bit here. But you know what? Samuel respected and he honored and he treated properly his human authority. He had the right view. Now, as I was just thinking of this passage, if anybody had an excuse to ignore his human authority, it was Samuel. If you study the life of Eli, he was a pretty wicked man. He allowed wicked things to go on in his kingdom, in the home there. And yet still, Samuel respected and honored his authority in his life. How we view human authorities affects how we view divine authority. You know, if we criticize, if we belittle, if we question a human authority, it opens the door and prepares the way to criticize or question God. You know what? As I'm just newly become a father with a little child, I don't want to do anything that would put in his mind that idea that he could question or criticize an authority in his life. You know, I want him, how he sees me is how he's going to view God. If I do something in the flesh, if I respond incorrectly, he's going to view God that way. And it's so important for me and for any parent to be sensitive to how their children see them. But you know what? When we criticize, when we belittle, when we question an authority, God, a pastor, an authority in our life, it's opening the door for those under us to criticize and question God. Despite the man that Eli was, Samuel still honored him. And there's a great truth there. You know, despite who the authorities are in our life, they're going to have failures. If it's a human, they're going to have issues. They're going to have needs. Or they're not going to be perfect. But still, We have to respect them. We have to honor them. And think of Eli, or Samuel. Despite the man that Eli was, he still respected and honored the authority that God has in his life, had in his life. So first of all, we see that a person that hears human authorities is well equipped to hear God's voice. Have you heard God's voice recently? Has it been a long time? Could be that we're not hearing our human authorities that God's placed in our life. The second thing I want us to notice here tonight is a person that consistently hears is a person God can trust and will use. A person that consistently hears, and I emphasize that word, consistently hears, is a person God can trust and will use. Samuel demonstrated a person that consistently heard and obeyed. Three times, Eli, Samuel thought it was Eli, but God called out to Samuel three times. They were getting ready for bed. They were tired. I'm sure Samuel was ready to get some sleep. And every time he heard his name called, he responded. You know what? Samuel was a young person, was a young man that God could trust. And he realized that by how he responded to his human authorities. And three times he went to Eli. And you know what? Sometimes after a certain amount of times, we just kind of tune things out of our ear. But every time Samuel was ready and quick to hear his master calling him. I wonder, do you hear when you want to hear? Because God will use a person that consistently hears. God can't trust a person if they don't consistently hear. If they only hear when they want to hear, if they hear when it doesn't require a sacrifice. You know, God can't use a person like that. God will use a person that consistently, time after time after time after time again, will respond correctly when he hears God's voice. God could trust Samuel because he had developed a consistent pattern of hearing and obeying. Does that characterize our life? We consistently hear and obey the voice of God. We consistently hear and obey the authorities in our life. Young people, it is absolutely essential that right now you develop that consistent pattern of obedience. Because right now, if you disobey here and you disobey there, if you kind of cut corners here and there with your earthly authorities, God will not be able to trust you. God will not be able to use you and bless you how He wants to. A person that consistently hears is a person God can trust and will use. The reality is God couldn't trust Eli. In verse 12, look at 1 Samuel 3 and verse 12. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice, nor offering forever. God couldn't trust Eli, so God was looking for a man he could trust. And Samuel was that man. And look in verse 1, it says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open visions. See, God couldn't trust any other man in that day. He couldn't use, there was no prophet around that he could trust. He couldn't trust the king. He couldn't trust the other prophets. And that's why the word of God was precious in those days. There was no open visions. There was nobody God could trust the visions with. And that's why God saw that he could trust Samuel. Because he had developed a consistent pattern of hearing, consistently hearing his human authorities. And he was able then to hear God's voice. Now I think I find it interesting in verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. You know, Eli knew things were going on in his home. And he didn't do anything about it. Did it turn out too good for Eli? No, not at all. You know, it's just, You know, as parents, as authorities in our homes, we are personally responsible for what happens in there. And if we know things are taking place that are not honoring the Lord in the lives of our children or what we allow into the home, we better be careful. Because we find here for Eli, God judged him for that. And you know, if we kind of just overlook the things that happen in our home, we just kind of ignore it or push it to the side or don't do anything with it, you know, we will be judged for that someday. We will be held responsible for that. And his house was judged forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. You know, it doesn't do any good to cater to our children. It doesn't do any good to kind of befriend them in a way so that we let them do what they want to do. No, it'd be better to stand up and say, no, we're not going to allow that. We're not going to let that into our home. And that's the failure that Eli had. He knew about the iniquity, the sin in his home, and he did nothing about it. God couldn't trust Eli, but he saw he could trust Samuel. And every time he called for Samuel, he responded. Every time he responded. You know, are you a person that consistently hears? Young person, mom, dad? Are you a person that consistently hears God's voice? When God speaks to you, when he shows you a truth from the preaching of God's word, from your reading, are you the one that says, Lord, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to obey. Are you the kind that says, it's not that big of a deal. I'll do it another time. Or it's not that big of a deal. I don't have to worry about something like that. Well, God can't use a person like that. Can God trust you because you consistently hear and obey? Is he going to be able to use you? I wonder tonight. Are you a person God can trust? The men sang this song here tonight, and that, I think it's the third stanza, says, God can only use a soldier he can trust. You know, it'd be a foolish thing to be in the military and the commander to entrust somebody with something that he knows they can't be trusted. You know, a person that can't be trusted, that commander knows he can't give him a responsibility. If he does, sometimes he doesn't finish the job, if sometimes he just kind of does it half-hearted, you know, he's not going to get put in charge of things. And God, our commander, is never going to use us how he wants to if we can't be trusted. And it's absolutely essential tonight that as God's people, we develop that consistent pattern of hearing and obeying so that God can use us. Do you want God to use you? Do you want your life to count? Young person, do you want your life to accomplish something for God? Well, it's going to come by you consistently hearing and obeying. Now, I said in our second point, a person that consistently hears is a person that God can trust and will use. And at this time in the nation of Israel, it was a desperate day. There was a great need. There was nobody God can trust. And God was looking for a man he could trust. And Samuel was that man. Look in verse 11. Person that consistently hears is a person that God can trust and will use. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Now, that's an interesting wording there. But in other words, God was calling to Samuel because he saw he could trust him. And God was going to use Samuel to do something great in Israel. In the time of need, God needs people that he can trust. And we live in a desperate, wicked day, and God needs people that he can trust. You know, if we can't trust us to respond to the Word of God, if he can't trust us to respect and honor the authorities in our life, we're not going to be any help in the day of need for God. He's not going to be able to trust us. And I trust tonight your heart is longing to be a person that God can use. A young person, a young man, a young lady that God can use in the time of need. So, first of all, we've seen a person that hears human authorities is well equipped to hear God's voice. Secondly, a person that consistently hears is a person God can trust and will use. And thirdly, tonight I want us to see that a person that hears the voice of God understands who his master is. Understands who his master is. Look with me at verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant heareth. Samuel properly understood who his master was. He understood that God was bigger than him. He understood that Eli was bigger than him. And that's why he quickly responded. He quickly ran to his bedside and said, Here am I. You called me. Eli, or Samuel, properly understood who his master is. You know what? A servant is under the master. The idea of a servant here is the idea of a slave. Samuel saw himself as a servant, a slave, one that was underneath his master. And when God came calling to Samuel, how did he respond? Just the way he responded to Eli. But he said, Speak, for thy servant heareth. A person that hears the voice of God understands who his master is. You know, a servant is not equal with his master. God's our master. You know, we're not equal with him. We're not the master of our life. We're not the boss of our life. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be a servant. We're supposed to be under him. And we ought to be ready to hear his voice. Samuel saw himself as not equal with his master and therefore was ready to hear and obey. He was, every time he called, he was ready to respond. And he understood who his master is. You know what? It takes humility to hear. It takes humility. You know, if Samuel was like, forget this. I'm old enough. I can be my own man. I don't need to respond to him. He's losing his mind. He just keeps calling me. No. He had humility. And every time Eli, which he thought Eli was calling, he responded. And it was God. Samuel had humility to hear and respond to God. And he said, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Does that humility characterize your life tonight? Does that characterize your attitude in life of humility? Speak, for thy servant heareth. You know, I wonder tonight, who is the master of your life? Who do you see as the master of your life? Is God the master? Is He the one that's calling the shots? Is He the one that's in charge in your life? Or do you view self as the master? Are you making up your own rules for your life? Are you making your own decisions for life? I wonder, are you your own master? Are friends your master tonight? You listen more to their voice. Then you listen to God. You obey them. You try to please them. You do them things so you can try to fit in with them. Well, you know what? That's not pleasing to the Lord. And it reveals that God is not your master. You're not His servant. Maybe money tonight is your master. I was speaking to somebody yesterday, an unsaved man, and we were just talking, and I was at his house, and he was just talking about all these projects and, you know, things he had to do. And he at one point stopped and he said, oh, if only I could have won that 500 some million lottery that was a little while ago back. And in his mind, it would have solved everything. But you know what? That's the mindset of the world, that money. It's their master. They're living for that. They just long for that money so that they can be satisfied in life. You know, what is your master? Who is your master tonight? Is it God? Could you say like Samuel, speak for thy servant heareth? Or is it, Lord, I'm not listening right now. I'm doing my own thing. I'm doing my own thing. You can't get my attention. I'm a bit focused on myself right now. Or is God the master? And tonight, could each one of us say, speak for thy servant heareth? You know, a servant welcomes His master's voice. You know, if God's our master, we welcome it. We welcome to hear Him. We love being in the Word of God. We love being in a place where we can hear His voice. You know, a servant welcomes his master. And Samuel just, he welcomed. He was like, you could almost see him on the edge of his seat, waiting to see if his master was going to call him again. And a servant welcomes his master's voice. Also, a servant is listening for his master. You know, tonight, are you listening for your master? Is God, if God's your master, are you listening for him tonight? Are you seeking, is your ear attuned to him? You know, or is it clouded out by all the other voices or other things in this world that can steal our heart? You know, a servant is listening for his master. When was the last time we came to church and we said, Lord, would you speak to me today? When was the last time we woke up and we said, God, would you show me a truth out of your, out of the Word of God? Would you speak to me through your Word? You know what? If we have that heart of humility, if we have that ear for God's voice, you know what? He will speak to us. He will reveal truth to us. And that needs to be the characteristic of our life, of welcoming His voice, of listening for it. You know, whose voice are we quick to respond to? Is it God's voice? Is His voice the only one that we're tuned into? You know, tonight, a person that hears the voice of God understands who his master is. Has it been a while since you've heard the Spirit of God convicting you? Of Spirit of God leading you, of showing you the truth out of God's Word? Has it been a while since you've heard God's voice through His Word? A person that hears the voice of God understands who his master is. Tonight, are you a person that is hearing the voice of God? Are you like Samuel that's ready to respond? You have that proper understanding, that proper view of human authorities. If anything is being attacked in our society today, it's this view of authority. It's being criticized. It's being taken out. Everything. It's just all throughout society. You know, the police are being looked down upon. Just authorities in general. People don't want to listen. They don't want to hear them. And it's a tragedy. And a person that hears human authorities is going to be well equipped to hear God's voice when God calls in their life. And you know, I think it's hard for some young people maybe, and even adults, to hear God's voice because they have bitterness towards another authority. They have disrespect. They've belittled them in their heart, in their mind. They've made them into garbage. And you know what? You're not going to hear the voice of God in that situation. And this aspect of authority is undermined and attacked today. We have to do everything we can to fight against it. You know what? Those in our home ought not to hear us say one thing negative about an authority in our life. Because that is preparing them not to hear the voice of God. And a person that hears human authorities is well equipped. Equip your children to hear the voice of God. Parents, equip them. Equip them to hear the voice of God. Secondly, a person that consistently hears is a person God can trust and will use. Do you consistently hear? Or is this the description of your life? Ups and downs. Roller coasters, up and down. One day you're on the mountain peak, the next day you're way down in the valley. That's not consistently hearing. God wants our lives to be consistent, consistent Christian life. And we can as we listen and hear His voice and respond to Him. If we do that, God can trust us. God will use us. And then we've seen lastly that a person that hears the voice of God understands who his master is. Who's your master here tonight? Are you hearing the voice of God? Do you need to deal with who's the master in your life? Who's calling the shots? Who's the one that you're listening to? If somebody else is our master, we're going to have trouble hearing the voice of God. Tonight, as Christians, it's absolutely essential that we hear the voice of God. You know, it's tragic if we go day after day and don't hear from God. If we can open up the Word of God, if we can sit in the Lord's house and not respond to the truth, that's a tragedy. You know, when was the last time that you made a public decision? When was the last time you were unashamed to say, God spoke to my heart and I'm going to do something about it? There's nothing magic in this altar. But you know what? There's an aspect of humility that comes with it. And when was the last time we heard the voice of God and we were unashamed and we responded to it? When was the last time we made a clear decision in our life because God showed us something in our life, showed us a need, showed us something that needed to change? You know, these are all gauges to say, help us see where we're at in our life. You know, we ought to be regularly, consistently hearing the voice of God. And I wonder tonight if that's taking place in your life. We can all let things come in and crowd out and keep us from hearing the voice of God. But it is absolutely essential for the believer, for their Christian life, for the success of their Christian walk, to be hearing the voice of God. And if there's been spiritual barrenness in your life, if there's been spiritual apathy, lukewarmness, it could be because you are not hearing the voice of God and responding. And tonight, you need to deal with that which is hindering you from hearing God's voice. We need to be people that hear. Let him that hath ears to hear, hear. I trust that you hear tonight. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I ask that you would just take the words that were given here tonight, and Lord, would you use them? Lord, may we humble ourselves and just recognize our need to hear your voice. Lord, I pray that we would set our pride, our selfishness aside. Lord, that we would allow the Spirit of God to transform us. Lord, for the person that has not heard your voice in a long time, tonight may they have rekindled a thirst and a desire to hear from you. And would they respond in humility? Tonight may they hear your voice above the cry of the world and the cry for money and all sorts of things. Lord, would they hear your voice tonight? Lord, I pray that you would give us a sensitivity to what it is that is snatching away our heart from hearing you, our ears from hearing you. And Lord, would you give us a sensitivity and a desire to create environments in which we can hear your voice, to set aside time where we can hear the word of God and respond to it. Oh Lord, in these desperate days, we need that. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up in this group, this congregation, people that hear your voice, that consistently hear and respond, so that in the desperate day we live in, there will be people that you can trust and you can count on. With heads bowed and eyes closed.